It's Sunday morning, time for the Great Outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host on WGN Radio. Thank you so much for joining me this morning. My guest this morning is an individual that's no stranger to a lot of you. Brent Manning, who has a legacy and a lifetime of achievements in the conservation world that is quite remarkable. Brent, thank you for being with me this morning. We've got a lot of things to talk about, and I always enjoy having you on the air because you bring a perspective that is seasoned and is wise. So thanks for being with me, Brent, this morning.
Well, thank you for having me, Charlie. It's always an honor, and I really enjoy this. It's always a good time.
So, Brent, I'm going to start off this morning talking about Theodore Roosevelt, President Theodore Roosevelt, Teddy Roosevelt, America's greatest conservationist, the leader, the person who started the whole National Forest Service, was the biggest driver of public lands. And this past week, we have seen the reputation of TR not only questioned, but in many respects, just plundered. And this has never been a show about politics. But this morning, Brent, I don't know whether you're going to agree with me or not. I think I know where you're going to stand. We have been through a week when the individual who is the most responsible of any human being that has ever lived in the United States of America, in my opinion, for preserving our natural resources. And frankly, Teddy Roosevelt was 50 to 75 years ahead of the rest of the country. When he was creating this huge public lands network, when he was creating the National Forest Service, America was still being discovered. And people were not in favor of setting things aside. Why would you set that aside time when we needed to live? So I am just disgusted that we are seeing his reputation being unfairly tarnished. And I would offer, Brent, that before individuals go and try to say statues should be removed or this individual wasn't perfect, give him a look in the mirror, because none of us are. Taken as a whole, taken in the context, there are very few people in the history of this country that have done as much for this country as Theodore Roosevelt did. And there is nobody, I don't think, who ever did as much for our conservation movement. And I think, Brent, it's a terrible thing when we start to undermine the conservation movement. And we're going to talk about Al Pyatt, rest his soul, in a few minutes. But I don't know if you have any thoughts, Brent. You've been a conservation leader all of your life. Individuals have led the conservation movement in America. You can think of Jim Darling, you can think of Theodore Roosevelt, you can think of John Audubon, you can think of not hundreds, but you can think of a lot of people who it's because of them that we have such great natural resources. And by the way, Brent Manning, you're one of those individuals.
Well, Charlie, I very much appreciate the compliment, but I do pale in comparison to the individuals you've mentioned. You know, Teddy Roosevelt, as you said, there is no perfect human being. I think the only person that reflected that perfection walked on the earth about 2,000 years ago, and we put him on a cross. This Teddy Roosevelt and his activities here in North America were unparalleled. He did have the foresight. He looked 100 years or 200 years in advance with the things that he set aside. It takes 200 years for a white oak, for instance, to reach maturity. He was able to see that and manifest actions that would preserve that opportunity. Can you imagine what he saw or what he felt the first time he saw the giant redwoods on the West Coast, or was in the mountains and heard an elk bugle, or who heard a moose make that haunting sound that they make during rut. It's incredible that he did what he did, and it really was very brazen of him to do what he did. In other words,
and unpopular.
And unpopular, exactly. But he knew future generations needed it. He knew future generations had to have it, and he stepped forward and did it. So I'm in total agreement with you. I think it's horrible. You know, you can say, yeah, he messed up here or he messed up there, and maybe he did. But again, there's no human being that's perfect. What he did in the conservation movement sure approached it, however, in setting those lands aside. And, you know, those lands that he set aside, he didn't care what nationality, what religion, what race you were. He set them aside for all America. And I think that's important to realize.
We're visiting with Brent Manning, who has a lifetime of accomplishments. And, Brent, you're far too modest. But I will say, no, there is no one. When we look up to conservation in America, we put Teddy Roosevelt at the top, at the tip of the spear, and say, that's the guy we admire most. But, Brent, you're way up that ladder with your lifetime achievements, and you have the awards to show for them. But I think, as I've watched this week, and we all have with horror, I think, at what is taking place, frankly. But when, for me personally, Teddy Roosevelt has been my idol when it comes to conservation. He has been the guy that if you could aspire to do anything, you would aspire to do 100 of what he was able to accomplish in his life for conservation. And these individuals who want to tarnish that, I would offer every one of them should read Life on the Prairie, the book of short stories that Roosevelt wrote after his wife and daughter died when he basically was checked out and went into the wilderness. And then he came back, of course, and he became president. So it's just incredible that the ignorance of our society to question a man who did so much, and I guess we've kind of beaten it, if you will, Brent, this morning. But the bully pulpit belonged to him. And this morning, you know, Brent, we have our own bully pulpit. And I just hope that America wakes up and says, wait a minute, this guy was a role model. And not only was he a role model, he made outdoor heritage that we have today possible. Without him, I hate to think what would be available for outdoor recreation or natural resources in America.
I agree. And you know, you look at it, Charlie, from the perspective of dwindling resources. And the farther we go, the faster they dwindle. And he was at a time and an age where we needed someone like him to take up the mantle and be the hero. And thank the good Lord he did it. You know, when at that time, you know, prior to that, if you think about it, everything was open. You know, and not long before that, you could still hunt bison on the Great Plains. You could find plains elk, there, plains grizzly bears, et cetera, et cetera. Well, he saw that and realized that those opportunities were diminishing. And he realized that for people to see or to wonder about the size of a grizzly or a big bull bison, that there were going to have to be some places put back where they were safe, and some places put back where their habitats would not be destroyed. And again, you know, nobody else did it.
So the Theodore Roosevelt Grasslands National Monument in South Dakota, just a great example. Medora, where, of course, he went when he was in such personal tragedy. Brent, when we come back, I'd like to switch to the present. You talked about somebody, we've been talking about someone who changed the face of America. Al Pied, who passed away this week, changed the face of Illinois. When we come back, you knew him very well. You worked with him for a long time when you were director of the Department of Natural Resources. Both of us served on the board of TWI, the Wetlands Initiative. You served on it with Al, as did I. Let's talk about Al Pied and how one individual helped change the face of Illinois. Listen,
I would love it.
This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, WGN 720. And first, a message from our longtime sponsors, the Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers.
In the field, hunters need to be alert, sense the environment around them, and know exactly where they are, communicate seamlessly with their dogs. And when it comes to pickup trucks, you want the same qualities. The all-new Chevy Silverado comes with an available 4G Wi-Fi hotspot for seamless communication. It's designed to handle the toughest loads with advanced trailering technology, tough on the road and off. And the all-new design gives you more cargo space than the competition. Chevy Silverado is the most dependable, longest-lasting, full-size pickup on the road. Plus, there's never been a better time to see your local Chevy dealer about the Big Fix lease. It's an amazing lease deal that can lower your monthly payments and give you more Chevy, all for less money. That's a treasure hunt. So head to your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer or go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and see why Chevy is the number one best-selling brand in Chicagoland, now 8 years running.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter here, your host on WGN Radio in Chicago. We're visiting with Brent Manning, who has a legacy in conservation that few have matched in the modern era. Brent, we're going to leave talking about Teddy Roosevelt, President Theodore Roosevelt, and what he meant for conservation, and bring it to the present. This past week, Al Piatt passed away. Al Piatt was a giant in Illinois for conservation, also a very humble man. But he didn't start out in conservation. As you know, he started out in the steel industry, selling steel. And then he frankly felt there was a greater calling. And he went on to truly change how we look at the Illinois River and wetlands in Illinois. Do you want to speak for a moment what Al Piatt meant to the state of Illinois? And you were the director of the Department of Natural Resources during the time period when the Net Wetlands Initiative started, which Al Piatt was, he was the co-founder of it, but really he was the visionary, and he built it. You want to talk for a moment about how one individual, in this case Al Piatt, made Illinois a better place?
Certainly. You know, I think Al was the first sportsman that I knew that took the endangered and threatened species and the life that we experienced, our ancestors experienced on the prairie, and tucked it under his arm and said, we have to preserve these species. We also have to preserve the species that were prevalent or present in those early prairies and in those early wetlands. And to that end, he championed or helped champion the Imaquan restoration over near the Illinois River. He obviously did Hennepin Hopper. And, you know, his TWI experience, there wasn't a great idea that Al didn't like, and he would pursue it with all kinds of vigor. Not only that, he was a great person to be in a duck blind with because he was very, very funny when you got to know him.
And I think about, you know, we have the Dixon Refuge at Hennepin Hopper under the auspices of the Wetlands Initiative. And it was Al Piatt who cultivated these individuals. He had a way of finding people who cared about conservation and selling them on big ideas.
You know, Al did that. But something else he did was through his devotion and through his love of natural resources and his enthusiasm, it was catching. He actually inoculated a number of people with that. And before long, they were walking the walk and speaking the talk of natural resources. And I saw him do it time and time again, regardless of what the person's background was. You know, he would say, we've got to do this. We've got to save this. There's none other like it. And I can still remember when he first mentioned this idea of taking away the levees or at Hennepin Hopper, not taking them away, actually, but providing kind of a natural situation for wetlands over there, even though it was an old levee district. And, boy, people were going, this guy's crazy. He's nuts. And look what he did. it came into its own and is now a beautiful project. And Al is responsible for that. He really is.
Well, he was something else. And in this context, he was not trained in science. He was trained in business. He was trained to sell. He had a natural ability to sell. And when I think of the people of our generation, Brandon, our lifetime, in the time that you and I have been doing this, there are very few people who could do what Al Piatt did. And for those of you who are thinking, where is Hennepin Hopper, Brent, you want to just take a moment where that oddly named place is? Because it used to be, well, before it was settled, it was one of the great marshes of the Illinois River. And then it became farmland, poor farmland at that. You just want to give a geographic location and size, because you were the director of the Department of Natural Resources when all this came into being.
Yes, up near Hennepin, Illinois, and that obviously the reason the name Hennepin and the Hennepin Hopper name originally, there was several great marshes up there, of which Goose Lake was one of them, Snatchwine was one of them, and this is as the Illinois River begins its bend to the south. And these areas were historically miraculous for waterfowl. They were beautiful in regard to the fisheries and fisheries habitat. Snatchwine, for instance, historically averaged, I think, 6 to 7 feet deep and had a sand and gravel bottom. And people came down from Chicago on buses to fish for the quote-unquote walleye. Now, I don't know whether they were truly walleye or sauger, but nonetheless, they came down there to fish. I guess it was gorgeous. Sand and gravel bottom, clear water, etc. Well, Hennepin Hopper was part of that complex, even though it was on the other side of the river. You know, when the river would get out, it would re-nourish that entire area there. And I understand historically it was beautiful. And Al went into that area with vision of reestablishing that and hopefully reestablishing a waterfowl refuge in that particular area, which he was successful in doing. Which to me, you know, it's still along the lines of Teddy Roosevelt. He recognized a dwindling resource, and he says, I'm going to do something about it. And he was successful in doing it.
Yes. And unfortunately, Brent, we're going to run out of time here. But for those of you who knew Al Piatt, you know what a remarkable man he was. And for those of you who didn't, he left a legacy in Illinois that will be here for all time. And not many of us can say that, Brent. Thanks for being with me, and thanks for talking about Al Piatt, a great friend of so many of us who made this a much better place in which to live. You've been listening to The Great Outdoors Show. This is Charlie Potter, the host on WGN Radio and the outdoor voice of Chicago and America. I'll be back next Sunday morning with much more on The Great Outdoors. Thank you for listening.